behind because they are generally a linear data structure. Insert, remove, find, all linear operations. And we talked a little bit about binary trees and binary search trees. But what is like the one big problem with binary search trees? What? There's a hand. Right, so it still has linear runtime. And not just in the worst case, but in a very common case. Because data is often kept in sorted order. Like, how often do you come across a sorted list? And whenever that happens, we get basically a linked list down the right or the left subtree line, like you said. So AVL trees are a new type of tree. And the idea is to insert into a binary search tree and rebalance it every time so the tree never becomes too imbalanced. So I think both of these animation tools are broken, and so I'm going to use a different one. I'm using visualgo.net/bn/bsd in case anyone is trying to follow along. And you can see that this is an AVL tree. And I'm just going to insert some things into it. And we're going to watch it and make it go a little faster. And you're going to see that it inserts things as if it were a binary search tree, but it fixes itself along the way. And we're going to see exactly how it does this during class today. It's not that cool. AVL tree is to guarantee logarithmic running time on find, insert, and remove. And like I said before, the idea is that we keep the tree balanced after every operation. And so we have AVL trees, which are named after the inventors. So an AVL tree is a valid binary search tree, and that means that it has the binary search tree ordering property. So for every node, everything in the right subtree is greater than everything in the left subtree. It also has an additional property, though, which is the structure property. So this says that for every node in the tree, the height of the left and right subtrees differs by at most one. And it's the way that we are going to guarantee that an AVL tree has logarithmic running time. So this is a valid AVL tree. If you were to look at each node and look at their subtrees, you would notice that the height of the left and right subtrees for every node never differs by at most one. And we're going to define the idea of a balance factor. So in a normal binary search tree, a node is going to hold the data, something that's able to be ordered, because you have to, because it's a tree. We usually use ints because they render nicely on the slides. It'll also have left and right child pointers. Maybe a parent node pointer, but probably not, because it takes up more space. An AVL tree, though, also has a balance factor. And that's just the height of the right subtree minus the height of the left subtree. We could have it be left minus right, but we decided to make like an executive decision in this class, and we're going to keep things consistent. And the reason that we store this in the node is because you could compute it on the fly, but that kind of defeats the purpose of using AVL trees for their speed in the first place. So if we go back to this picture, we can look at any node, like we can look at 5, the root node, and compute the balance factor. So we look on the right, it has a height of 3, because we're counting the edges, and the left has a height of 2, 3 minus 2 is 1, so the balance factor is 1, and so that's okay, because of the structure property. Okay, we already did that. Okay, so if the balance factor is 0 for a node, that means that it's balanced. If it's 1, it means that the right subtree is 1 longer than the left subtree. It's a little imbalanced, but that's okay. And if it's -1, it means the left subtree is 1 longer than the right subtree. If the balance factor ever becomes 2 or -2, then we're going to have to fix the tree. And we're going to do that through a series of rotations, which we're going to look at a little bit later on. Will we ever hit a balance factor of 3 or -3? Why not?
Fixing itself when it hits negative 2 or 2.
Right, so whenever it hits 2 or negative 2, we fix the balance, and so it brings the tree back into balance, so the balance factor is negative 1, 0, or 1, and any new insertion can only change the balance factor by 1. So we don't do a bunch of inserts and then a bunch of fixing. We fix the tree after every insert or remove. So this is the same tree except with the balance factors. You're going to see that every balance factor is negative 1, 0, or 1 because it's a valid AVL tree. If it had any other balance factor, it wouldn't be a valid AVL tree. This is not an AVL tree. And you can probably see why. There are 3 red nodes in this picture. Each of them are imbalanced. They have respective balance factors of +2, -3, and -2, none of which is okay for an AVL tree. And so we would have to fix this tree. So let's talk a little bit about some of the operations in an AVL tree. Find is easy. It's the exact same as a BST find. So you have your value that you're looking for. If value equals the current node you're at, then celebrate. If it's less than the current node you're at, recurse on the left subtree. If it's greater than the node you're at, then recurse on the right subtree. Insert is like a binary search tree insert, except once you're done with the insertion part, you traverse back up the tree looking for any imbalances. And if there are any imbalances, then you're going to fix it via a series of rotations. Anytime you travel up or down the tree, you're going to have a runtime of d, which is like the depth of the node that was inserted. And this is bound by the height of the tree, h. And for a binary search tree, h was bounded by the number of nodes in the tree. But for an AVL tree, we're going to see that the maximum height of an n-node AVL tree is log n. Okay, so when we perform an operation like insert or delete, we move back up to the root and update the balance factors along the way. We only need to look at the nodes in that path from the inserted node because they were the only ones that changed when the node was inserted. And like we've already stated, we're going to fix the tree when the balance factor is 2 or -2. So how many times do we have to fix the tree? Well, we kind of already mentioned this, but any insert modifies the balance factor by 1. So as we move back up the tree after an insertion or removal, we find the lowest imbalanced node, and we only have to fix that. Because it's going to fix, like, it's going to, the change is going to propagate back up, and the tree will no longer be imbalanced. So that means that we only look at the bottom 2 imbalanced nodes because they are going to be the ones that perform the rotation. Okay. For an AVL insert, there are 4 cases of where the insertion can occur. I'm going to say this really fast and you don't have to understand it right now because we're going to come back to the slides like 3 times in the next like 35 minutes. So it can happen the left subtree of the left child, the right subtree of the left child, the left subtree of the right child, or the right subtree of the right child. And we're going to see each of these cases a little later on. It turns out that they're really just 2 cases that are mirrored and become 4 cases. And so first we're going to look at the single rotations. So here we have a little tree. We've just inserted node 1. And after we insert node 1, we move back up the tree looking for imbalances. So first we move to node 2. It has a balance factor of -1. That's okay, because remember our structure property. Then we move back up to node 3. It has a balance factor of -2. This is not okay, and so it means that we're going to have to do a rotation. So we're going to call node 3 the parent because it is the lowest imbalanced node. And we're going to call node 2 the child because it's the parent's child. And so what we're going to do is we're going to rotate 2 and 3 to the right. So 2 moves up and 3 moves down. You can see that right here. And we update the balance factors. And you'll see that now the tree is balanced. Now it is a valid AVL tree. OK, and I can show a little demonstration in this animation tool. First, I'm going to remove all the things. Whoops. There's not like an easy way to do this. Okay, it's almost done. Okay, I need to insert, remove one more. So, I'm gonna slow this down so we can see it. And I'm going to insert 19. And it's going to insert into 20's left subtree. And, well, I'll talk about it while it happens. So, I insert 19. It inserts into 20's left subtree, and it moves back up looking for imbalances. It finds an imbalance when it hits 21, and so it rotates to the right. Okay. The single left rotation is the same thing, except backwards. So, you insert node 3, node 1 is imbalanced, we're going to rotate to the left, everything is the same except flipped. I want to mention a side effect of tree rotations, and that is whenever we do a rotation, at least one node moves up and one node moves down. And this is relevant because we can use rotations to move nodes up and down the tree. And we're going to see, especially when we look at splay trees in a few days, that this is going to be really relevant for that. This is a more complicated case of the single rotation. So, we just inserted node 1. It's the one in red. We're going to move back up the tree looking for an imbalance. So we move up to 2. It has a balance factor of negative 1, so it's okay. We move up to 3, also has a balance factor of negative 1. We move up to 5, and it has a balance factor of negative 2. And that's not okay, so we have to do a rotation. So 5 is the parent, and 3 is the child. And so we're going to rotate 3 and 5 to the right. 3 moves up, 5 moves down. And you're going to notice that 3's left subtree remains the same. See, 1, 2, 1, 2. 5's right subtree remains the same because it's 10 and 10 here. But 3's right subtree switches parents, and it becomes 5's left subtree. And we have to do that because 3's right subtree, after the rotation, is going to point to the parent, or what used to be the parent. And so 4 needs a new place to live, and we can put it in the left subtree of 5 because we are still adhering to our binary search tree ordering property. Does everyone see why that's the case? Okay. One thing also that I should mention. This is fine. We said that 3 was the parent node. From the parent's point of view, it went left and then left again to find the insertion. And so that's why we call it like the left-left case, or if we go back here, it's case 1 in the left subtree of the left child of X. Okay. So this is before and after the rotation. This is a more general case of the single rotation. So we inserted something into X. We move back up the tree looking for an imbalance. We find that in A, because its right subtree is length H plus 1, and its left subtree is length H plus 3. H plus 1 minus H plus 3 is negative 2, so we have an imbalance. So we do the same thing that we did in the previous slides. We move B up and A down. X stays the same, Z stays the same, but Y switches parents. This is the more general case. And what you're going to notice is that according to the binary search tree ordering property, Everything in set X is less than B, which is less than everything in Y, which is less than everything in A, which is less than everything in Z. So we make this inequality, and it still holds after we do the rotation. And that's a good thing, right? Like, we don't want to do a rotation and then change the whole tree. We changed like the structure of the tree, but it's still an ABL tree. It still has the BST ordering property. So this is just showing you the right and left rotations. Don't look at the letters and the nodes because it's not showing you like the values. It's just showing you the rotation. And we're going to see that every other rotation is based on these single rotations. More stuff that we do in ABL trees and stuff that we do in RubLack trees. So, we've learned about cases 1 and 4, right? Left subtree of the left child, right subtree of the right child. So we know how to do single rotations right now. And we're about to look at a case where a single rotation doesn't work. So, take this tree for example. We insert something into Y, and then we move back up the tree looking for an imbalance. We get to A, and for A, the right subtree is length H plus 1, the left subtree is length H plus 2. H plus 1 minus H plus 3, is negative 2, and so we have an imbalance. We try to do a right rotation, and so this happens. We're just following our right rotation rules. But we find that we didn't actually fix the problem, because now if we look at the subtree heights, on the right we have a height of H plus 3, and on the left we have a height of H plus 1, and that means that the balance factor is 2, and so we didn't fix our problem. It's still an invalid ABL tree. And so that brings us to double rotations. And a double rotation is just two single rotations. It's nothing super fancy. And right now we're going to see how they work. So we just inserted node 5. And we're going to move back up the tree looking for an imbalance. We move to 6, it's okay. We move to 4, we move to 8. 8 has a balance factor of negative 2, and so we're going to have to perform a rotation. 8 is the parent in this case. So if you look from the parent to where the insertion happened, we move left and then right. So it's in the left child's right subtree. So that means we're in the left-right case, and what it's going to mean is that we're going to do a left rotation on the child and then a right rotation on the parent. So, the child is 4. So we're going to perform our left rotation, which is a single left rotation on 4, which means that 6 moves up and 4 moves down. So we can see that finished step right here. Then we're going to perform a right rotation on the parent. So we do that on 6 and 8, and 6 is going to move up and 8 is going to move down. And this is going to be the final tree in that case. And as you can see, it's a valid ABL tree. Are there any questions on that? No. Okay. So, this is the before and after of the tree. Let's look at the animation tool again. So we're going to have nodes 20 and 18 in the tree. And I'm going to insert node 19. And it's going to insert into 18's right subtree. And it's going to cause a rotation. So let's see that. Oh no, what happened? So it moves down, it inserts into 18's right child, it moves back up, trying to find an imbalance, it finds the imbalance, so it's going to do a left rotation, and then a right rotation. This is a general case for a double rotation. We inserted something into X, We looked back up the tree and found that A was imbalanced. From A's point of view, we move left and then right to find the insertion. And so we first did a left rotation on B and C. We did a single left rotation. And then we did a right rotation on C and A. And this is what we ended up with. And you can see that some of these subtrees have switched allegiances. And that's just because when we did our two single rotations, we had to move that subtree that we talked about over. And you're going to see that this inequality still holds. So W is less than B, less than X, C, Y, A, Z. We get this inequality. After our double rotation, the inequality still holds. And that makes sense, right? Like, if the inequality holds when we do a single rotation, it makes sense that it would also hold when we do multiple rotations. So that's a good thing. So we kind of run into a problem with terminology. Some people say double left rotation, but what does that mean? Does it mean left-right or right-left? And so in this class, we'll mainly use the terms double left-right and double right-left just to be specific. But it doesn't really matter if you remember this terminology or not. Like, if we ask you to do it, it should be pretty clear which one you're supposed to do. So again, we have our four insert cases. Right now, we've talked about all of them. It's really mainly like two cases, the single rotation case and the double rotation case. And so you do a single rotation when the insertion happens in the left subtree of the left child or the right subtree of the right child. And you do a double rotation when the insert happened in the right subtree of the left child or the left subtree of the right child. So this is a visual representation of all four cases. And as humans, we can kind of look at that and say, sure, that's a left-left case, or sure, that's the right-right case, or the left-right case, or the right-left case. But a computer doesn't really see it that way. It's not going to look at the pointers and look at their directions and stuff like that. What a computer is going to do is it's going to look at the balance factors to figure out which case it's in which rotation it should perform. So if the parent's balance factor is negative, and its child's balance factor is negative, then we're in the left-left case. If the parent's balance factor is positive, and its child's balance factor is positive, then we're in the right-right case. If the parent's balance factor is negative, and the child's balance factor is positive, we're in the left-right case. And if the parent's balance factor is positive, and the child's balance factor is negative, then we're in the right-left case. And this is going to be important when you do the post-lab for lab 5. Because you're going to be implementing an ABL tree, and you're probably going to use this to determine which case you're in. Are there any questions on that? In that AM section, ask more questions. Yeah? This? Okay, so again, a computer is going to decide which case you're in by looking at the balance factors of the parent and the child. And the parent is the imbalanced node. So it's going to look at the parent's balance factor and the child's balance factor. If they're both negative, you're in the left-left case. If they're both positive, you're in the right-right case. If the signs differ, you need to do a double rotation. And like which one's positive and which one's negative determines which rotation you're going to do. Yeah? What the balance factor would be? So the balance factor is the height of the right subtree minus the height of the left subtree. So like for node 3 right here, you can see that the height of the right subtree is 0 and the height of the left subtree is 2, which is why the balance factor is negative 2. Wikipedia page that has colors and ABL trees, and I'm not sure why it's on here and I don't know what to say about it, so we're going to move fast. So our runtime analysis. Most of the operations for an ABL tree are logarithmic. Find is log n because the height of the tree is always log n. Insert is log n for the same reason, so is remove. And it's not actually left as an exercise. We like give you the code in the post lab so that you don't have to implement that part. Also, a hint, insert is very similar to remove. So I would suggest like understanding the code for remove, and hopefully that will help you with insert. Print is linear because it doesn't matter what the data structure is or how fast most of the operations are. If you want to print n elements, then you're going to have to visit n elements. And sometimes this is asked in an interview question or something, like, remember, if you want to print n elements, you have to visit n elements. Other questions on AVL trees? Got through this a lot faster than 9 a.m. Okay, so if there aren't any questions, then I'm going to go through two things. We're going to go over how to implement a single write rotation, and we're going to talk a little bit about this remove code that's given to you in the lab. So first, we're going to look at the write rotation, and I'm going to use a whiteboard, and I'm going to try to use a microphone, but I also need to like use like hold things and write things, so we'll see how this works out. So I'm just going to draw a simple tree so that we can visualize what we're trying to accomplish with this write rotation. So this is the parent node, and this is the child node. And this is like either the inserted node or like the node where the insertion happens somewhere underneath there, so it's like the start of the subtree of the inserted node. The child might point to something on its right side. The parent might point to something on its right side. And the parent's going to be pointed to by something above. After our rotation, we're going to want the child to be above the parent. I stays where it is. Parent might point to things. Child is going to be pointed to. I think that's it. And I'm going to label these pointers so that we can keep track of which ones they are. So you can see here that, well, pointer 2 is going to stay the same. It's still going to be pointing to the parent's right subtree. So we don't need to worry about that one. What we do need to worry about is pointers 1, 3, and 4, which is what we're going to have to rearrange. So I'm going to define my method and call it rotate right. Oh, also, because we couldn't get like Nopta working, if anyone wants to take a video with their phone or computer and then like email it to me, I will post it online. Otherwise, you can just remember it, I guess. So we have our method rotate right. Also, if anyone wants to email it to me, my email address is marina@virginia.edu. So we have our node. It is going to be a reference to a pointer. We'll see why in a second. And the first thing that we want to do is grab the child node. So we're going to make a node C equals the parent's left child. Okay? So now that we have the parent's left child, we can assign parent's left pointer to be this subtree, because we need to change it to whatever the child was, the child's right pointer was pointing to. And so we're going to do that next. So the parent's left pointer should now be the child's right subtree. Does that make sense? Okay, So now the child's right pointer is free to point it wherever we want. Does anyone have any ideas what we might want to assign it to? The parent, yeah. So we said C arrow right equals P. Before we do the last thing that we need to do to rearrange the pointers, we want to update the heights in P and C. And the code that we give you has like a class definition for AVL node, and it stores the height of, well, the height of the node instead of the bounds factor. And so we're just going to update the height here. So P's height is now going to be the max of its left and right subtrees plus one, because it takes an edge to get there. In case anyone's wondering, the height method just checks if the node is null, and if it's not, then it returns node arrow height. Okay, we're gonna do the same thing for the child. I'm just gonna write it up here. Also, tell me if I should slow down, because I've been going faster than I did this morning. So yeah. Child is the same thing, you just change the P to a C. And so the last thing that we have to do is change like this first pointer so that the child is there instead. And this is where you can kind of choose your own adventure. Because we passed in P as a reference to a pointer. Why might it be useful that we do that? Yeah.
So you're not just operating on the copy of the pointer, but like you're actually changing the value of the pointer.
Right. So we can change the value of P. So what we could do is make this a void function and just say P is now equal to C. The reason we can do that is because it's a reference to a pointer and not just a pointer. Or I think the lab right now will give you function signatures. And the function signature for this particular function is, it has a return type of an AVL node. And so what you could do is you could have this return type be a node. Instead of doing this, you can return C, which is the new like kind of local root of the tree. It's not necessarily the root of the tree, but it's the one that's on top in this like section of the tree. And then outside the code somewhere, you would be calling it by doing something like n arrow left equals rotate right, whatever. And so you would have to assign that somewhere. So you can do it either way works. Right now, the lab has the return type to be a node. Either way works. Are there questions on this method? Yeah. Yeah. Comment them in the code, yeah. Okay, so, so here we just grabbed the child. And then we said that the P arrow left should be C arrow right. And so, this was like, right, 4 to 3. Then we changed C's right, so that was 3. We changed it to the parent. I'm just gonna say 2 parent. We updated the heights, And then this is updating one. We didn't have to do anything with two because it stayed the same. Questions on this method? No? Okay. If there aren't any questions, we're gonna look at their move method that we give you because it's, yeah. So that is the choose your own adventure part of this. We need this node to be updated. We need one to point to C after we're done with everything else. And so you can either do that by saying, now the pointer that was P should be equal to C. Or you can do it by returning C, and then in the code somewhere, you would be saying one equals rotate right, whatever. And so you would be assigning it, you would be assigning one to point to that. Okay, let's move on to remove. Okay, so this code can be confusing the first time we look at it, which is why we're going to go through it now. I'm going to make the text bigger. If I can. There we go. Do you see that? Okay. Also, as I said before, this is a new part of the lab, and right now, this particular method is leaking memory all over the place, but I told the TA who wrote it, and he's about to fix it. You can pull the new version or use the old version. It won't affect correctness, just memory leaks. So this is remove. We pass in, okay, the string x is going to hold the value that we want to remove. And the node we're looking at is n. So first, well, if n equals null, we return null. And also, I should also note that this is a recursive function, and the thing that we return is going to be the thing that is assigned to whatever we remove. So first we look for x. If we find x, then we go into this if statement. If it has no children, we memory leak and return null. But really what you'd be doing here is if you're moving I right here, you want C to point to null there. So that's what you're doing. Okay, so if there's a single child, you either return, well, you return that child, whether it's the right child or the left child. And if there are two children, first we go through a BST removal. So if you remember, when we removed something in the binary search tree, first we had to find the minimum element in the right subtree. Or you could find the maximum element in the left subtree, but we just did it this way to stay consistent. And so that's what we're gonna do first. We're gonna figure out what value that element has and put it in the string. And then we're gonna overwrite the node we're removing with those values. So n arrow value equals that value that we're about to remove. And then we can just remove that node because we just overwrote the node we're removing with that value. Does that make sense? Any questions? Okay. Otherwise, if we haven't found the value yet, then we're gonna recurse on the left subtree or the right subtree. And then finally, we update the height. We balance the tree in a function that you will write, and we return. Are there any questions on the remove method so far? Okay. Remove, like I said before, is very similar to insert, so you might want to look at this code when you're doing your insert. Okay, so if we're done with that, I'm just gonna go over like one more thing, and then we'll be done. So AVL trees are nice, but no one ever uses them. And now you're like, why did I just waste 46 minutes of my life? But It turns out what people actually use are called red-black trees. The problem though, I'm gonna let Florian go over red-black trees on Monday, but I wanna tell you like why red-black trees are used instead of AVL trees. Well, a red-black tree, the nodes are either red or black. Surprise. So the problem with red-black trees is they have five properties. Remember with AVL trees, we only had two properties. One is the ordering property of a BSD, and the other is the structure property that keeps the height of the tree bounded by log n. With a red-black tree, we have five properties, and these are the properties. And you're gonna go over them more on Monday. But you're gonna see why on Monday, but the height of the tree is bounded by 2 log n. So like, I know it's a constant, but like theoretically, it should be slower than an AVL tree, right? Well, it turns out, in practice, a red-black tree is faster than an AVL tree, even though they belong to the same complexity class. And that's because with an AVL tree, we have to worry about the overhead of rotations. Like every time we do an insert or a move, we're doing either a single rotation or a double rotation. And even though it's a constant, it's still some extra time. With a red-black tree, though, we sacrifice some of the balance of the tree for less rotations. And so we teach AVL trees in class because they are easier to teach and easier to implement and to understand, but in practice, you use red-black trees. Fortunately though, in the post lab, we ask you to implement an AVL tree and not red-black tree. So are there any questions on AVL trees? Or anything else we talked about today? Or life? Okay, well then, Florian will see you all on Monday.